Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings on our lives, your grace provisions. We thank you that you've taken us under your wing, and we just pray this morning your blessings on the class. For we thank you and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Daniel 7. This was on my mind this morning. We know that this is certainly going to be the case during the tribulation age, or the last 3.5 years. But we also know that it's going on right now, this wearing of the believers out. And he shall speak great words, Daniel 7:25, against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times of the dividing of time. So that refers to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. This wearing of believers out is something I've seen personally in my life and in the lives of so many people here in the church. There's just a lot of things that go into this to wear you down. Let's see here, we have the Pael future of Belah, B-E-L-A-H, related also to the word Belah, B-E-L-A-H, and means to waste away, to be consumed with cares, to become old. If used of garments, it refers to garments that are worn out because of age and they get raggedy. And people can get this due to prolonged sickness or sicknesses. You know, it just keeps on going from one thing to the next, which I've experience, aging, worry, pressure, all of these things take its toll because most people aren't geared for that. They're geared for, you know, getting up, going to work in the morning, playing with the kids, that idea. And we're just not used to one trial after another, which is what happened with Job. That's why Job is such a profitable book for God's people, because why do the righteous suffer? Why does a mature or maturing believer suffer? And you can get to the place where you just get worn out by this stuff. It's just one after another, like I've experienced the last 5 years. There's always pressure in our lives, but holy cow, that's just way too much, and it keeps on going on. And after a while, you just start thinking about, all right, what's Satan going to do next? Can't stop it. You just have to fight it. Now, there is a solution for this stuff. Of course, we know about doctrine and prayer and stuff like that. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Or, more literally, I am strong for all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I've experienced this in spades about, you know, having to deal with this thing and that thing. It's just like, after a while, you just get tired of it. And you have to really rely upon the strength of Christ in ways that you never thought of before. But he's always there. He'll always come through for you. And the only solution to prevent wearing out, or if you're already worn out, and to get back is the strength of Christ. And we all have access to that. And if we don't utilize it, well, we're just hurting ourselves in the process. This is the intensive use of the word. So whatever Balah is referring to, it just takes that idea, ups it a notch or two. And so wearing out is good. Burnout is also good. Burnout is one of the biggest phenomenons going on in America today. People are burned out just on their jobs or trying to raise a family and deal with all this crud. Raising kids and trying to disconnect them from their cell phones, that'll wear you out. Because they're like an addict. They want that cell phone. They want to play their games. And each one of these is a battle that has to be fought and won. Balah means it's no longer in any good working condition. It's like if you've ever had an older car that you have to keep driving, but what happens? Always something going out on it. Then you have to scramble around to look for the money to get it fixed up, and it just wears you out because we have a limited amount of income and we have rising costs just in food. Have you guys noticed how food keeps going up in price? Well, food isn't necessarily something you can cut back on. You need food to live. And then you have all the other stuff you're trying to maintain. Now, my generation, it's a little bit easier because we grew up without nothing anyway. We were happy to just make do with what we had. Because if you wanted a shirt, you had to make one. You used to get shirts from the feed store, not shirts, but the material, and you get a pattern, and you make your own shirts. I've sewn together more than one shirt as a kid to have something to wear to school. Food? No candy bars, didn't have money for that. So we learned to make do with little or nothing. Today, people have everything, complain about everything. And I don't know if they're going to make it or not. They can if they turn to Christ. It means to be exhausted. You hear people say, I'm just worn out. I don't know how much longer I can do all this stuff. You have these expressions, and it's speaking of Balah, wearing out the saints. Now, how do they wear out the saints? Well, they change the times and the laws. They're always coming up with some new evil, goofy law. It's like their only function now, like in this state, the legislature, all it apparently is just to figure out some new law that binds you more and more. Lack of freedom. You go against them and you got a real problem, and people are just trying to keep the family together, put food on the table, and they just they don't even know what the new laws are. But they're here. Everybody have their, you know, when we take a moment of silent prayer before the church starts, that's our opportunity to confess our sins to God and ask God to help us to concentrate on the class. I assume you do it. I give you the opportunity to, but I don't know. I look around at my old age and I see the problem going on, at least here in Reading, and that is people, I don't know. Their lives are coming apart, and yet they're not under sound doctrine. We've got a church with 11,000 members, just one church, that cult up here in the hill. And then all the other offshoot, charismatic, Pentecostal, holy rollers, they're all over town. I was thinking when Joanne and I moved to Salem, what was 1970? Yeah. So that's like 50 years ago. Jack Van Impe had a citywide crusade. Filled up in a big civic auditorium, 5,000 people. And I haven't seen one since then. Isn't that odd that we haven't seen a citywide crusade since 1970? Everybody was there positive, here, eager to hear the word of God. Don't have that. They don't even bother attending churches that teach the word of God. Do you not see what that problem is? That's apostasy. Oroville used to have tent meetings, actual tents, just like the old-timey people did. And they'd have a speaker there and people getting saved and coming forward. Oh, don't see that. Reading had one. We had one here in the 70s, so that's like 50 years ago. What happened? What happened to the people? What happened to the younger generation? So it's really kind of like a sign of the times, spirit of delusion. We've got that going on here in the country. And Trump and them are having all kinds of problems. They got an army of wicked judges trying to shoot down everything that he does. Every time they try to do something that deals with truth or justice, they get shot down. Well, that's because in this country, we have a whole group of people, bunch of brown skins and black skins who come from violent, demonic countries. And they bring that same demonic concept into America. And you can be worn out just by trying to stand for the things of the Lord, especially in the tide of evil negativity opposing it. And it wears you out. So just remember this. The solution to prevent being worn out always goes back to being strengthened by Christ. And if you don't or won't, then you're just going to be gobbled up by the evil, and you're going to be, at the very least, worn out by the whole thing. Another one of the problems that come in this is loss of hope. I experienced that when I was in that rehab. I kept telling the wife and anybody that listened to me, I said, this place is destroying hope. It's destroying faith. I got to get out of here. And that's how I felt, and feel just as strongly today. And, you know, for us, as a little church, we've got to have faith. We got to keep our faith up and working. We got to believe. And we have to have hope for the future. Like Jennifer's dad took her down to see the physicians down at Sutter. Well, at least she's got some hope. All they did here is drain off fluid. They didn't come up with any solutions. They didn't have any team of experts looking her over. They don't know. All I see is in Reading is it's good enough. You know how guys will do a job? And good enough. We used to say that in the Navy, good enough for government work. But that's not what Christians should be doing. They shouldn't be saying good enough. You know, whatever your job is, you should be the best at it and striving to get better. Not just good enough. Well, good enough is one thing in the workday world, but it's another thing in the medical field. If you take your children in to see a doctor, do you want them to do just good enough? Oh, it's a kid. They're young. They'll get over it. Or do you want the very best care? It's up to you. You want the very best care for your child? Like our health. Our health should never be good enough. you should be an avid health nut. Because there's something to be said about being healthy. One is long life. Another is a long life without medical problems. And good enough just won't cut it. Good enough is not what? Good enough, exactly. It's not good enough. Yeah, at the end of the job, your name is on it. You ought to be known as the best in your field. I would think you'd want to, especially if you're a doctrinal believer. So, the swearing out of the saints of God, it just erodes man's hope. It's like, I don't know, I hope you're listening. Long period of time, that's a factor in it. It's not like an accident that handles quickly. It just keeps on going on and on and on. Job 14:19. As water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil, so you destroy a person's hope. Job 14:19. Job's hope was gone, but he was blaming the wrong person for it. He was blaming God. But who is the real culprit? Satan. Now, Job actually thought it was God who was doing this to him. But it wasn't. It was Satan. One should notice the nuance here of dealing with Satan and his demons, because we can get to the place where we start blaming God for everything. Satan puts thoughts into our mind. He's able to do that. He can make the thoughts seem as if they're your own thoughts or ascribe it to God. Meanwhile, he keeps working behind the scenes to destroy you. And we notice that he destroys man's hope. What is hope? Hope's a wonderful word. That's what's happening in America. The government and all these Democrats and liberals are destroying people's hope. I read where silver now is almost $60 an ounce. Now, when I was growing up, we used to actually carry silver dollars in our pocket. That was change. And according to the Constitution, the price is figured out. 1 ounce of silver equals $1. Now it's $60. So what does that mean? Say, well, I get a lot more money for it. Well, it means that the dollar is worth not as much as it was before. It's worth 1/60th of what it used to be. $20 gold eagles was actually how much? $20. And that's affixed by the weights and measurements standard established in 1792. It's constitutional. The thing about our money being silver and gold with a fixed price on it, which they could adjust over the years if they had to. But that's gone. And even just that, even the deflation of the dollar destroys your hope, because if you save so much money towards the future, you expect it to have the same purchasing power as when you saved it, but it doesn't. Now the average house in Reading is what around $400,000? $400,000? Are they smoking something? Who makes that kind of money? Because you know what? It breaks down to 1 week's wages equals one payment. 1 monthly payment on your loan. When I was a financial manager, that was always the rule. And if you want to know how much of a house you could make, you take your annual income times 2.5. So if you make $50,000 a year, that means you could afford a house for $125,000. Standard rule of thumb always, for years. Not that way anymore. So if you want to buy a little house and settle down with your wife, you can't afford it. That destroys your hope. That destroys your future. Because see, hope is a mental attitude, and it's a confident mental attitude, that good things await you in the future. You look around at all the people doing drugs. I'm surprised that the whole nation isn't doing drugs. Because think about it. Why do people do drugs? Because the present reality of today is too painful. They don't see any hope. Like it used to be, why do guys go out to the bars and get drunk? It helps them forget about the pain of their life now. At least for a couple hours, their attitude changes. You guys don't, you never experience that? As water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil, so you destroy a man's hope. This went on over a period of months of suffering, going through a trial, and one thing after another. You have to admit, he did go through a lot. His wife turned against him. His kids were dead, employees dead. Gone. Money's gone. Respect's gone. It's all gone. He was an upright man with integrity and righteousness. All that's gone. So we have a tendency as human beings that what we're going through now in our minds we project into the future. If all you're knowing is suffering, what do you think about the future? What do you think it holds to you? Well, you're going to have more of the same, maybe worse. That destroys your hope right there. And that's what liberals want. They want to destroy people's hope so they're dependent upon the government. One of the wickedness of their ideas. One can become worn out due to going through a trial of much sickness and suffering, going through one after the other. The way Job put it is, wave after wave have assaulted me. Wave after wave. Now, I sure have experienced that in the last 5 years. Social, emotional problems. Going through with children that get their backs up in the air, go off into the world system. You still love them. That's the problem. You can't stop loving them. And that'll wear you out. So what we got to do is stop it and turn to Christ for his strengthening presence. And he'll get you through it. I can do is not really I can do. It's iskouo in the Greek. I am strong for all things. I'm strong for. What kind of strength? Depends on the trial that you're going through. But it means to go through a trial or a battle and have the wherewithal to survive the battle and come through the other side. Just remember, the word speaks of two armies meeting on a battlefield. One of them wins, the other one loses. All right, what made that one who won win? What is there about them? Well, they could have superior numbers. They could have superior weapons, superior training. A lot of reasons go into it. But whatever the reasons are, they get to the place that they're able to meet the other army out on the battlefield and win. See, the idea of coming out the other side, the victor, is very important with the school word. So you're going to win, and Christ is going to give you, maybe it's just some other Christian praying for you, but he's going to give you whatever it is that you need to be the victor in the trial that you're going through. And you're going to come out the other side, standing on your own two feet, looking down your nose at them in triumph. Now, does that sound like something that you would like? Well, it doesn't get you down. You go through the trial, Satan throws everything in the book he can at you, and you're still standing. You guys have all watched boxing matches, I'm sure, and two guys in the ring, and they're just pounding the heck out of each other. And one guy gets knocked down, but he gets back up. Knocked down again, gets back up. Well, who wins the match? The one that keeps getting back up. That's who wins. And do you want to be that guy or gal that keeps getting back up? No matter what Satan does to you, no matter what he throws your way, Christ's strengthening of you guarantees that you're going to get back up. And he can't, it's like I heard these colored guys talking about fighting a little Irish ginger-haired guy, 5'5", skinny, and no matter how many times they knock the guy down, he gets back up and he's ready to go. And you just can't keep a good man down. They just give up and walk away. Because nothing they can do to stop him from doing that. Do you have that kind of strength? I don't think any of us do, but you will have if you trust Christ to strengthen you. And you start having, and remember what hope is, the confident expectation of good things happening to you in the future. Confident expectation of good things happening to you in the future. Now, how we can approach this is with Christ, all we have to do is just keep walking with him, and we will have hope towards the future. Now, there is a special word that's found in Romans 8:28 that expresses that so clearly. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I know it's a verse that's quoted by so many believers, but you got to sit down and analyze it and think about it and apply it to yourself. And that particular word, good, is beneficial. Whatever God has in store for you is for your personal benefit. And so I talked about going through trials. If you're still alive, God's plan for your life is still going on. Whatever he has in store for you, he hasn't changed. You're just going through a hard time, that's all. You'll come through the other side of it. But you've got to grab hold of the scriptures and believe them. analyze them, think about them, digest them, get into the nuances of them. And in God's plan for your life, whatever he has in store for you is for your benefit. Now, therefore, whatever God has got planned for you is for your benefit. That should give you what? One word. Hope. Hope. Hope towards the future. And that'll change your attitude just like that. But you really, really, really got to focus on the promises and what they're actually saying. And you can get your hope back up. You can get your positive attitude back up. You can get your faith back up because you have hope towards God's blessing of your life. I've got something to be believing toward, moving toward in faith. Well, I don't know. I guess what I can do is just let God deal with you. You're not paying attention? You seem like I'm speaking in a foreign language about a foreign subject that you've never heard before. You know, we have a song we used to sing, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." It is. But that's, my faith works for who? Me. Doesn't work for you. You got to exercise faith that in the plan of God. God, he kept telling Israel in the Old Testament, he said, "I know the plans I have for you. They're good plans, plans to bless you." But you wouldn't listen to him. Well, I think one of the things that just astounded me when I was studying on the Star of Moloch, they had a tent, and they had a star in there. That's where they'd go to worship. They didn't go down and listen to God. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They go down to this thing. So they're involved in Satanism right from the get-go. But one thing stood out. He still fed them and clothed them and took care of them. You see, he promised that he would provide their needs. He promised to do that. That promise was not based upon them adhering to a walk with God. That promise was there to them no matter what they did. You see, God promised to feed them and clothe them, etc. He promised that. And he carried out that promise even when they turned away from him. God's provisions are going to always be there. Whether you're eating out of a dumpster or having a nice meal, he's still feeding his children, right? I wouldn't exactly call it a blessing, but he fulfilled his promise to them. You can get the best medical care or just good enough. Well, what do you want? Just good enough or best medical care you can get for you and your children? Speak like a fool. Saints is Kaddish, or Poro Kaddishim, and Q-A-D-A-S-H, I think it is. And it refers to those who have been set apart from the world system by God to give to his son. Now, what do we call those New Testament believers? We call that the church. All that the Father gives me, setting them apart from the world, shall come to me. They're the Kaddish. They're the righteous ones. They're the holy ones, sanctified. Sometimes Catholics refer to them as saints, but they're just believers that have been born again. And this applies to that group of people. Those who have been set apart by God to give to his son to be saved, and they've been set apart. Remember, in setting apart, there's always the from, the to, and the for. We've been set apart from what? From the world system. So why are so many believers trying to fit in with it? You're not going to change what God has done. Two, we've been set apart from the world system to give to Christ. So we belong to Christ. He's our Savior, our God. He's everything to us. And what's the four part? From two and four. Of serving God. Of doing his will in life. Not after chasing after the wampum of the society, but to serve the living God, to do his will. You know, I watch TV probably too much. I see shows in New York City. I see the housewives. I'm always thanking God. Father, thank you that you delivered me from those kind of people. Father, thank you. I never lived in New York City. Thank you that I was never influenced by that negativity. All I've known is the Word. That's all I care to know is the Word. I don't care about these other people. And I'm thankful because he took charge of my life when I got saved. And he's been redirecting it on the course that he wants me to live in. Do you guys ever thank God for that? Or do you curse the day because you don't get to go out and get stuff? Well, look, the whole world strives after stuff, and they pursue after getting stuff. And maybe they'll get their stuff. But at the end, they die and go to hell. So how did that benefit you? You got your stuff. Right now, there's thousands of people walking through the gates of hell where despair and depression are overwhelming and hopelessness, no more hope. The place of darkness and gloom. And God spared you from all that. I think you ought to be thankful, don't you? That he took charge of your life, your kids. They call him the little horn here, or also the Antichrist. Currency, these are some of the things that can cause us to get to this place. Work situation, social norms. I mean, aren't you guys tired of seeing blue-haired and pink-haired women? I think, what's wrong with you? They think they're attractive, I guess. I think it gets attention. It does. It just tells me there's something wrong with you. By the way, if you're single and you have a chance to date somebody like that, don't. You want somebody that's wired together a little bit more tightly. Apostasy, the Holy Spirit no longer restraining evil. Spirit of delusion at work. The influx of demons into one's nation. And every time you have some of these third world immigrants coming into America, they're bringing their demons with them. I hope you understand that demons just don't stop at the borders. They come with the people they're attached to. And it's just another round of evil that the saints have to deal with here in America. And it wears you out. I mean, I'm probably the oldest person here. I remember when America was normal, when people were normal. Did you know that we never talked about homosexuality? It was like, oh, just wouldn't do it. In transgenderism? What? Never heard of it. Never heard of such a thing. It's crazy, the stuff we're having to deal with. And our poor kids, it's like they don't have a shot in hell to getting straightened out without doctrine. They're having to deal with things that we never knew existed back in my day. Negative volition, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is certainly indicative of that. Terrible times, difficult times. Difficult in the sense of hard to apply the Word of God to the situation. And I can tell you, you've got to be totally committed to Christ and His Word. I could say in those times you'll have to, but we're living in those times now. And if you're not totally committed to Christ and His Word, you're not going to make it. Being around people who are proud, hateful, selfish, wears you out. You'll probably end up having no friends because the other type drag you down too much. Look, no man is an island. We pick up and absorb what's around us. Just remember water, bitter water. Water isn't bitter. Water is water. It's good, you can drink it. Life-sustaining. So what makes water bitter? It absorbs the content of the soil surrounding it. So if you have alkaline soil or toxins in the soil, it's going to go into the water. It picks it up from outside. What's the moral of the story then? You pick it up from society. When God had Israel go into the land, He says, kill them all, including the children. Oh, there are some people I've met who just have backflips over this. Why would God have them kill innocent children? Well, why would He? I know the answer why. Because the children would have by that time picked up everything from their parents. And their parents were steeped in evil. And the kids would have been just another crop that they'd have to take care of. So wipe them all out, problem solved, move on. The little horn. Traditionally, the church has known this to be the Pope at Rome. The Pope is the head of the Babylonian mystery system. He wears that dress and red shoes and acts like he's holy. This fools a billion plus people, but it doesn't fool the saints. We know that he's evil incarnate. He's also the CEO of a corporation. And there's one corporation that rules the world, and that's the Vatican. And he's the head of that. And right now, he holds, he says, the keys of the kingdom of God. And all we have to do is look at the Pope. And the Pope is the one who is holding everything in trust until the man of lawlessness comes along, the Antichrist. Then he's going to turn it over. Right now he's vested, the first one was Euthant as the head of the United Nations. So the head of the Secretary General of the United Nations is the one who's operating under the Pope. The United Nations is an evil, wicked situation. As long as America's a part of that, we're wicked and evil too. We've got to get it out of it and get it out of the U.S., off our shores. I mean, that's clear as a bell. It was started by Americans in 1945, this whole evil system. I was invited to that once back in the day, down in San Francisco. I don't know why they got my name, but I didn't go. Give you a little clue. You ever seen these statues they've got on the domes? There's a federal one and states have them too. Do you know why that's set up that way? Because the statue represents a deity. And when it's on top of a dome, it's saying that that deity controls everything that takes place under the dome. Washington, D.C. is the capital of Rome here in America. It's not a part of America. It's a district under Columbia, the Mother Goddess. It was known as the White House originally because the White family lived there. And they were related to, a brother of Jesuits. We have Virginia, named for the Virgin Mary. They have Maryland, which is named, originally was Mary's Land. So that kind of lets you know the history. And that began in 1790. The corporation was known as, originally as the Virginia Corporation. Then it was given a different name, and it has a constitution. The name of that constitution is, and this is where they do word changes to deceive people. The United States of America, capitalized, uppercase. But the original constitution of this country is a constitution for the United States of America. Just a little different than people, they'll say, well, it means the same thing. No, it doesn't mean the same thing. It's an entirely different constitution, in case you're interested. Well, we'll stop here this morning. Father, thank you for the study. Pray a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.